We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, 17th chapter. We've been on the 17th chapter for well over a year. And it's verses 289 to 301, the chapter entitled The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth. So the verse which is on the board is 301. And we're reading from 289. Now, I've been issued these glasses, which are like bifocal, so I'm trying to get used to them. Vishal Prabhu is my optician. So they're kind of bifocal, you know, whatever that means. So 289. Eba boli namaskari gela gopi gana hena kole radha ashi duilo darshana. The translation is, after saying this and offering obeisance, all the gopis dispersed. Then Srimati Radharani came and appeared before Lord Sri Krishna. 290. Radha dekhi Krishna tonre hasya korite soi chaturbhuja murti chahena radike. When Lord Sri Krishna saw Radharani, he wanted to maintain the four-armed form to joke with her. 291. Lukilo doi buja radhara agrate bahu yantra koilo Krishna narilo rakhite. In front of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna tried to hide the two extra arms. He tried his best to keep four arms before her, but he was completely unable to do so. You could just talk on and on about just this verse. It's so pleasing. 292. Radhara Vishuddha Bhavera Achinta Prabhava Ye Krishnera Koilo Dibuja Swabhava. The influence of Radharani's pure ecstasy is so inconceivably great that it forced Krishna to come to his original two-armed form. 293. Rasaramba vibhu noila rasato kunjani brikko ghaneer drishtam gopiyatam swam uddara diyaya stuto sandarshito radaya pranaya sahanto Mahima yasya shriya raksitam. Sashalka prabhu vishnu api harinanas chik chatur bahuta. Translation. Prior to the rasa dance, Lord Sri Krishna hid himself in a grove just to have fun. When the gopis came, their eyes resembled those of deer. By his sharp intelligence, he exhibited his beautiful four-armed form to hide himself. But when Srimati Radharani came there, Krishna could not maintain his four arms in her presence. This is wonderful. This is the wonderful glory of her love. There's a one-line purport. This is a quotation from the Ujwala Nilamani by Srila Rupa Goswami. 294. Soi Rajeshwara Ihan Jagannatha Pita Soi Rajeshwari Ihan Sachi Devi Mata. Father Nanda, the king of Brajbhumi, is now Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mother Yashoda, the queen of Brajbhumi, is now Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya's mother. 295, Sai Nanda Sutta Ihan Chaitanya Goshai, Sai Baladeva Ihan Nityananda Bhai. The former son of Nanda Maharaj is now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the former Baladev, Krishna's brother, is now Nityananda Prabhu, the brother of Sri Chaitanya. 296. Vatsalya Dasa Sakya Tina Bhava Maya Shoy Nityananda Krishna Chaitanya Sahaya. Sri Nityananda Prabhu always feels the ecstatic motions of paternity, servitude and friendship. He always assists Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way. 297. Prema bhakti diya tenho bhashyala jagite tanra chaitra lokena bhare bhujite. Sri Nityananda Prabhu overflooded the entire world by distributing transcendental loving service. No one can understand his character and activities. 298. Advaita Acharya Goshani Bhakata Avataro Chaitanya Avatarya Koilo Bhakiter Pracharo. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu appeared as an incarnation of a devotee. He is the category of Krishna, but he descended to this earth to propagate devotional service. 299. Sakya Dasa Doi Bhava Sahaja Tanharo Kabuk Prabhu Korena Tondre Guru Prabhava. His natural emotions were always on the platform of fraternity and servitude, but the Lord sometimes treated him as his spiritual master. 300. Shrivashadi yatra mahaprabhura bhakata gana nija nija bhave korina chaitanya swavana. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur, have their own emotional humors in which they render service unto him. And so now we come on to 301. Translation. Personal associates like Gadadhar, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and the six Goswamis headed by Rupa Goswami are all situated in their respective transcendental humors. Thus the Lord submits to various transcendentally mellow positions. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Ki. In verses 298 through 301, the emotional devoted service of Sri Nityananda and Sri Advaita Prabhu has been fully described. Describing such individual service, the Gaura Ganodesha Dipika, verses 11 through 16, declares that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears as a devotee, he is none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, although Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared as Lord Chaitanya's assistant, he is none other than Baladev, the carrier of the plow. Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Sadashiva from the spiritual world. All the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur are his marginal energy, whereas the devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are manifestations of his internal potency. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya, Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all belong to the Vishnu Tattva category. Because Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of mercy, he is addressed as Mahaprabhu. Whereas Nityananda and Advaita, being two great personalities who assist Lord Chaitanya, are addressed as Prabhu. Thus, there are two Prabhus and one Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Goswami is a representative of a perfect Brahmana spiritual master. Srivas Thakur represents a perfect Brahmana devotee. These five are known as the Pancha Tattva. Kindly repeat. Personal associates like Gadadhar, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami, are all situated in their respective transcendental humors. Thus the Lord submits to various transcendental mellow positions. Om Jnanati Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vaidanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaste Satarine. Vancha Kalpa Drubasya Kripa Sindhubhaya Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The 17th chapter, Prabhu's, as summarized by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Thakur, in his Amrita Prabha Bhasya, describes Lord Chaitanya's pastimes from his 16th year until the time he accepts sannyas. And we know that Sri Vrindavanas Thakur has already vividly described these pastimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And so Kaviraj Goswami here describes somewhat briefly. He doesn't repeat things which the previous acharyas have stated. Vivid descriptions of some portions of his pastimes are seen in this particular chapter. However, it's because Vrindavanas Thakur hasn't elaborately described the pastimes. So whatever he hasn't elaborately described in the Bhagavad, then naturally Kaviraj Goswami will give a little more detail. Now, in this chapter, we find descriptions of the mango distribution festival, which was very relishing to read earlier on, and the Lord's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discourse with the Qazi, which was also very sweet. And that's the last time I'd given class and touched upon that particular pastime. And finally, the chapter shows that the same son of Mother Yashoda, Krishna, now being Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tasted the four transcendental mellows of devotional service in his form as Sachinandan, the son of Mother Sachi. And so we are now finally heading towards the end of this chapter after well over a year. So it's been a nice, sweet chapter. When Lord Krishna assumed the form of the four-armed form, Narayan, the gopis showed their respect. But they were not very interested in the Narayan form. In the ecstatic love of the gopis, all the worshipable form, and here we have the Shamsundar form, Shri Shri Radha Goklananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai Bhagwan ki jai, Jagat Guru Shila Prabhupada ki jai. So here, towards the end of the 17th chapter, we see that when Lord Krishna, in his form of Narayan, saw Srimati Radharani, he just couldn't keep his position as Narayan. And again, he resumes his form of Shamsundar Krishna. And that's immediately. He just couldn't keep the form of Narayan. And so all towards the end of now this 17th chapter, Kaviraj Goswami, following in the footsteps of Vyasa Muni, has summarized all the Adi Leela pastimes separately. So he concludes in that manner. And we can see from the verses 296 and 297 that Lord Nityananda is indeed most, most merciful and magnanimous and so very, very munificent. Now, having said that, the Lord certainly doesn't tolerate Vaishnava Parad, and hence the pastime of Ramchandra Khan comes to mind. In September of last year was the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, and I had been scheduled to give class. It was on the notice, and I came here, and of course someone else more senior to me was about to give class. And I was thinking to myself, such an opportunity for me to talk about Haridas Thakur, and of course someone else is sitting on the Vyasa stand, and I thought, okay, that's good. And I was saved somewhat. But I wanted to touch upon this pastime of Ramchandra Khan, because this verse is reminded me of it, the glories of Lord Nityananda in particular. And this pastime, Ramchandra Khan, incidentally, is an affluent and opulent zamindar. The title of Khan, the Bengali title of Khan, is that of a zamindar, a very wealthy person. And in the province of Benapol is his area, and he governs that entire area, and he works directly under the Nawab Hussein Shah. And he was the personality who sent the Maya Devi, the high society lady, to the Thakur. And of course, he had approached many of the ladies to go and approach the Thakur and defame him. But many couldn't do that because the Thakur was such an elevated personality. But this personality, Maya, is her name given, and she agreed. And of course, we know that she wasn't particularly successful in her mission, and she became a pure devotee, and she even shaves up. She shaves up and wears white attire, and so quite unique. Of course, when she completely, totally, utterly surrenders to the Thakur, and the Thakur then mentions that, look, you stay here and I need to move on. And she mentions, but I want to serve you, you're my disciple. I mean, sorry, you're my guru. I'm your disciple, I want to serve you, and you're moving on. And he said, look, I have to move on because the reason being is that Ramchandra Khan will come after both of us if I don't move on. So in a humble manner, you know, the Thakur moves on.
And he enters the next province, and he enters the house of the Chamundars, Govardhan Chamundar, and that Leela is quite unique. But Mahaprabhu hears of this incident, and Mahaprabhu then mentions to Lord Nityananda that, look, you go and check out this Ramchandra Khan, see what he's up to, and why he has performed this, you know, act. It's such great aparad to the Haridas Thakur, to the Namacharya. So Lord Nityananda appears there in the house of Ramchandra Khan. And Ramchandra Khan has a palace, naturally, because he's a very wealthy person. And Ramchandra Khan, for some reason, doesn't come out of his fortress, his palace. And instead, when the Lord appears there in the courtyard, he mentions to his servant that you go and deal with him. And so the servant is about to go out, and reluctantly, because, you know, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come to your home, and you don't actually go to welcome him. It's pathetic. Somehow Ramchandra Khan was completely bewildered. And he mentions to the servant, look, you know, because this Nityananda is here, mention to him, because of his huge entourage, wherever Lord Nityananda appears, there's a huge entourage. So there'll be many people who will follow. So just tell him that he can sit in the Goshala. The servant says, the Goshala, my lord? He said, yes, because there'll be a lot of people. He can sit with the cows. He'll like that. Of course, that was a very unreasonable thing to do. You know, if a person comes to your home and there's a Goshala, you don't say to him, you know, sit in the Goshala. It's somewhat offensive. So the servant reluctantly, his name isn't given, but the servant reluctantly then goes out. The Lord appears there, and the Lord sits on the Durga Mandal. And you'll see that in Bengal, due to the Durga worship, there's a mandal in all big houses, even the small houses. There'll be a mandal, and Mataji is shaking her head there, and she would know. So the Lord sits there, and he's about to sit, and the servant appears there. And the servant says to Lord Nityananda, my master is detained. He can't come out. And the Lord asks, you know, where is this Ramchandra Khan? I've come to meet him. I can deliver him. The Lord is thinking that, because he's committed such an offense to the Namacharya. You know, he's thinking, I can deliver him. And the servant, he says, my Lord is detained. There are many other devotees who will soon come, soon as they hear that you're here. So it's advisable that you go and sit in the Goshala. Now, if you can imagine what Lord Nityananda's thinking, the Goshala? I've come to your home and you want me to sit in the Goshala? And the Lord just gets up and he goes to the gate and is about to vacate and is entering the Goshala. But then he turns around and he said to the servant, he said, tell your master that in 7 days' time, the minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah will appear here and he'll convert you and the entire family, and your master will eat beef on this very spot. And when the servant heard this, he was shocked. He was completely shocked. The Lord vacates that premises, never enters again, and he leaves. And when the servant, he goes inside and mentions to his master Ramchandra Khan, Ramchandra, he still couldn't understand. He still wasn't given the benediction to understand. His intelligence was somewhat taken away, and he just brushed it off. I'm such a powerful person. Who's going to bring me down? And sure enough, in a week's time, the minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah appears there and immediately accuses the Khan of fraud, of taking too much money, of the taxation which he collects, he is hiding. It's fraud. So he imprisons the entire family. Ramchandra Khan has three sons, two wives, daughters-in-law, and grandchildren. Everyone is imprisoned. The women are abused very badly. And the minister imprisons not only Ramchandra Khan, but that at that very spot, he then orders the guards to go to the Goshala, bring and slaughter a cow of his own, of Ramchandra's own Goshala. And for three consecutive days, it's mentioned that beef is forcibly administered to Ramchandra Khan. Such a heavy, heavy activity. And in those days, and possibly even now, if a Mohammedan were to convert a Hindu, all he has to do is sprinkle three drops of water on the head of the Hindu, and the Mohammedan would have converted. So in that way, mass conversions took place during the Mughal Empire, and people were converted. So Ramchandra Khan had become a Muslim. He's imprisoned. He's been forced to take beef, which is so utterly sacrilegious. And in due course, he actually gets leprosy and he leaves his body. And he had every opportunity to receive the benediction of Lord Nityananda. And on this occasion, that benediction hasn't been given. And we see in the life of the great Thakur Haridas, on many occasions, that on three particular occasions, that devotees or people in particular, if they've committed an aparadha to the Namacharya, then the repercussions are devastating, truly devastating. One was the accountant of the Mujundars, Govardhan and Hiranya, the accountant, and he had received the same fate. Now, Lord Nityananda simply gets everyone to meet, everyone and anyone he meets, to naturally chant the holy name of the Lord. Because that's Nityananda's business. The Lord's business is just to get everyone to chant the holy name, and that's all. That's what he does. He's very expert at that. And that this verse reminded me of the verse in the Bhagavatam, the sixth canto of the second chapter, verse 14, whereupon it stated, Sanketyam Pradinasava Stobam Hilanam Ivava Vaikuntanama Grahanam Ashesha Haranam Viduhu. One who chants the holy names of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, it's mentioned here, even if one chants jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully if you chant. This is accepted by all learned scholars in the scriptures. This is what this verse is stating. And I remember when I was working as a wee young lad, I was in the Docklands next to Canary Wharf in 1987. And any opportunity, I was on a building site. Now, to work on a building site, Prabhus, it's not particularly palatable. It's actually horrible. If you were to go to our building site here and you enter the Haveli site, it's not a nice place. It's all muddy and wet and horrible. So any opportunity I'd receive, I'd just run off and chant some rounds or sing a little. And there was this one young bricky. A bricky is a person who lays bricks. And this young bricky, I remember he had ginger hair. And he noticed me chanting my rounds. And he mocked me. And, you know, he said, Hare Krishna, Hare. He was like that. And I felt belittled, and I kind of tended to put my bead bag away. I was only about 18, and I put my bead bag away, and I felt. But then later on, I thought, well, he's chanting the Lord's names. I wouldn't preach to him because it would be the wrong thing to do. And besides, you know, I wasn't such an expert preacher, and I still am not a preacher or a teacher. But that reminded me, this verse reminded me that even jokingly, because this person was somewhat taking the holy name jokingly, just this week on the Sun we had Hare Krishna splattered everywhere, if anyone noticed that. So whoever reads the Sun, the newspaper, the Sun, and then the Daily Telegraph also had, you know, something, it will get so much tremendous benefit. And some will read this jokingly. Hare Krishna, H-A-R-R-Y Krishna. It'll be a mocking thing. But Krishna is there. And so the benefit will be there. Now, Prabhu's offenses to the holy name is one thing, as we know, but aparads to the devotees, as we see in the example of Ramchandra Khan, is truly, truly devastating. Mahaprabhu just doesn't tolerate aparad to the devotees, to his devotees. And a unique position and a unique pastime is that of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts the lunch invitation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When the Lord comes back to Puri after some time from his South India tour, all the brahmanas wanted to invite him for lunch. He's a sannyasi, so naturally he'd receive many, many invitations. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was very close to the Lord. So very, very close that he just said to the Lord, look, why don't you just come to lunch every day at my house? And the Lord then, he said, well, I'll come. It was agreed that the Lord said, I'll come for 5 days. And then I'll go to the various other brahmanas every two days, different houses. So in that way, he covered many, many houses. But the first, the 5 days which he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prabhu, has anyone taken darshan of the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri Mataji there? Thank you, Govinda Prabhu. And it's a very, very nice place, very sweet place. And you see the Satpuj on the wall there. And on that courtyard, there's some indication of the tunnel, the famous tunnel. And that tunnel is said to lead straight to the altar of Jagannath. Right. So the Lord accepts lunch prasad. Now, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu accepts prasadam, bhoga in essence, and lunch, it is a very, very pompous affair. Jagannath accepts chappan bhog on the hour, every hour, and it's quite elaborate. But here in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Mother Shruti is the consort of Sarvabhauma, and she is so very similar to Sita Thakurani. Sita Thakurani is the consort of Advaita Acharya, and she is a fabulous cook. And if you could imagine what was presented there, you know, possibly this entire temple room would have been covered with all the offerings. It was exceptionally opulent, and the bhoga was cooked so very, very quickly. When one reads the detail of it and how elaborately it was cooked, and it was just fantastic. When we have unakut offerings here, you know, the altar is elaborately presented, and it takes several days, if not a couple of weeks, to present all of that. But here, you know, we see in Gauranga Leela that such elaborate preparations are immediately manifested. So the Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has a son-in-law. He has only one daughter, and this son-in-law's name is Amog. We have one devotee who is called Amog Leela. So Amog is the son-in-law, and he happens to come one of these days, and he notices the Lord is taking lunch. And when he sees the Lord accepting this humongous offering, he develops an offensive mood. And he's thinking, what is this sannyasi? Why is he taking so much to eat? He develops an offensive mentality. And he judges the Lord. And this, you know, he's possibly the same age as the Lord. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is in his late 70s, 78, 79, when he first takes darshan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We know the pastime very well. And Amog then develops this very offensive mentality, and he immediately just leaves there. He's virtually thrown out. Sarvabhuma, he mentions to Sarvabhuma that, you know, Pitashri, what is going on here? This sannyasi is taking so much of this foodstuff which the mother has made. It's wrong. It shouldn't be happening. Of course, Gauranga Mahaprabhu uniquely chuckles and somewhat doesn't even pay any attention. But Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who's the host, is very offended. So much offended that he virtually kicks out his son-in-law. And in these verses, in the Madhya Leela, this pastime is there. I was just going through these verses during the Christmas break, as it were, the Christmas period on my Kindle. I was reading, and in these verses, it's virtually stated, and the Bhattacharya mentioning to his daughter, leave this person. He is not fit to be your husband. He is not fit to be a member of our family. Leave him. And these verses were quite seriously deep. How can you, it's unimaginable, sacrilegious. It's like, separate from him, divorce him, have nothing to do with him. And this was the mood. And the consort of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya himself, was so very, very dejected. Mahaprabhu didn't take this offense so seriously, but the father and the mother-in-law did. And they were burning inside. They were really, really perturbed, both of them. And Amog, the son-in-law, he didn't understand the offense which he had committed to the Lord. And Amog then just leaves. He leaves, and immediately when he leaves the family, as it were, he gets cholera. Cholera at that time is a very nasty disease. Typhoid, cholera, jaundice, leprosy, all these things. And it was a very nasty disease, and he's about to die. A young grihastha with family, children, is dying. And still Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya does not forgive him at all. The Lord has forgiven him. The Lord doesn't accept that offense. But Sarvabhaum, he cannot tolerate such offense. And something very unique happens. Very unique. Gauranga Mahaprabhu sees the pain in the heart of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and his consort, the mother, and he could not tolerate such pain. And he immediately then goes to see the son-in-law, Amog. Amog is dying, and he still, when he sees the Lord, still doesn't understand what he's actually done. And he's not, repenting. He just doesn't understand. That intelligence is not given to him. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all he does, he takes his right palm and he touches that to the forehead of Amog's diseased body. His diseased body. And instantly this entire body is transformed and Amog is cured of his disease of cholera. And just by the touch of the Lord, he is self-realized. He becomes a pure devotee. And he immediately chants the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he becomes a pundit. He becomes such an acute pundit that the entire Puri is aware of his glories. And he is then taken back into the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, he didn't repent. He didn't understand his offense. But the Lord, being so very merciful, sees the pain which is causing his pure devotee, the Bhattacharya. And due to that, the Lord liberates his son-in-law. So, if you're related to a pure devotee, you've got no problems in life. So the offenses to the holy name of the Lord is one thing, but the aparad is quite another. When we read these verses, when I was reading verse 294 and 295, it reminded me of the big picture, which is in the TP office, temple president's office. Has everyone seen that massive picture? Anyone not seen it? Okay, everyone's seen that picture. That means everyone's been in that office. So you see, if I just remind you, it's when Akrura is taking away the Lord, both Krishna and Balaram. And all the gopis are after and trying to stop. Now, these verses are so very, very sweet because there's a cute Krishna Leela. And in that picture, you'll notice something very unusual. Akrura, yes. Akrura, incidentally, means one who is not cruel. Krur means cruel. Akrul means one who is not cruel. So the gopis there were accusing Akrura that actually you're very cruel. Your name is that you're not cruel, Akrur, but you're actually very cruel because you're taking away Krishna and Balaram. And if you notice in that, verse 294 and 295, mentioning Nanda Maharaj, and that he is the father of Lord Sri Krishna. And if one notices that picture, because all these pictures, Prabhu, as we know, are the windows to the spiritual world. Right? And so you notice that. And in the corner, very much hidden, is another chariot. Anyone notice that? Possibly not. There's the massive big chariot of Akrura. And Krishna and Balaram are on that chariot. The gopis are virtually about to touch the Lord. One of the gopis is about to just touch the Lord. Of course, it doesn't happen because the chariot does move on. But in a distance between the Lord's chariot and between the gopis are in between, and far at the end is the chariot of Nanda Raja, Maharaj Nanda. And Maharaj Nanda on this occasion is also accompanying the Lords to Mathura. In the great work which His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj has done of the Navavraj Mahima, such detail is given, such sweet, sweet detail. And it's mentioned in that in the previous kalpa, the Lord actually goes to Mathura on the hoods of Kaliya. Every day, the Leela changes a little. On this particular Kaliya, the Kalpa, the Lord went and Akrura had taken him. In the previous Kalpa, he goes to Mathura on the hoods of Kaliya.
So there, the chariot follows the Lord's chariot. And when the chariot of Akrura leaves the gopis, a very Herculean person comes flying from the air and lands in front of Krishna's chariot and blocks the chariot before Krishna leaves the province of province of Vraj and entering Mathura. And just before that, this humongous personality, very Herculean, bit like, you know, Ram Lakshman here, you know, very, very muscular. Of course, there is a bit of fat in him as well. But so this personality lands right in front and he blocks. And he's a gopa by the name of Lutra. Lutra, he's a gopa. And he says to the lords, you cannot leave. And Krishna is blocked once again. I mean, he had a tough time with the gopis and leaving them. And now, you know, one of the gopas is blocking him. And this chap is very, very, you know, forceful in, no, you're not going. You can only leave if you share a picnic with me. And I know that Mother Yashoda has packed some very nice delicacies, nice kachoris, nice sweetmeats. My mother has simply given me some, you know, sweets which are a couple of days old. I have bundi ladu, but they're quite old. We can exchange. So the lords come off the chariot and they have a picnic. Akrura obviously is looking at his watch. What time are we leaving? Because he's given a time to Kans that he will bring Krishna and Balaram. Of course, there's no watch, but he's thinking of the time. And so they have this very nice sweet picnic, and the lords exchange their lunch packs, and Lutra takes everything. And he mentions to the Lord, when are you coming back? You're leaving, when are you coming back? Krishna mentions, well, I'll come back in a couple of days. Well, Prabhus, that couple of days became 25 years. And Lutra says to the lords, Krishna and Balaram, that I will remain here until you come back. And Krishna says, no, no, you don't have to come here. You know, don't remain here. You need to eat. You know, you're a good eater. You need to eat. Don't just remain here. And Lutra said, no, no, I will anticipate your return. And he remains there for all that time. And of course, you're possibly wondering, who is this person? And in Ram Leela, he's none other than Hanuman. And in Krishna Leela, he's this gopa. Hanuman is very strong, and he fasts for all that time until Krishna returns. So the verses here, 294 and 295, reminded me of that. Prabhus, from text 298 onwards, such sweet Krishna Leela has been depicted here. And of this, we find so much nectarian work from the Navavraj Mahima. And one very sweet pastime I'm reminded of is that of when Krishna is detained. One of the verses here mentions that Krishna enters a grove. There are many groves. And on one incident, one pastime, Srimati Radharani is very, very hurt with Krishna. And she's just not forgiving him. And in one sense, you know, who would blame her, because Krishna continuously lets her down. Now, generally, when you let down one lady, you know, a wife or a sister, whoever she may be, you cannot repeat that, Prabhus. I look at the men devotees here. Don't let any lady down, because she'll never forget. And Srimati Radharani never forgets. And she said to Krishna, okay, I'll give you one more chance. If you're late in this meeting of ours, I'll never speak to you again. I'll give you one more, you know, chance. So Krishna, he's very conscious of not being late for that meeting.
And of course, he's late. Of course, I mean, he has a legitimate excuse. But no excuse is legitimate because this is the supreme personality of Godhead. He controls everything anyway. And so Krishna is running to the place where he's met to meet. Unfortunately, I forget the place. Radharani is waiting and waiting. And the sun is about to descend. And Krishna is late. And as he's running to that rendezvous place, suddenly from a grove, a gopi comes out and grabs his hand and pulls him in. And this gopi is very, very conscious that Krishna has to meet Srimati Radharani, and a time has been given. Greenwich Mean Time, you can't be late. Yeah. But unfortunately, that time passes, and this gopi is none other than Chandravali. Chandravali, Sakhi, is truly unique because she's the counterpart of Srimati Radharani. She's the first cousin of Srimati Radharani. She's the daughter of Chandrabanu, who's the brother of Vrishabanu. Chandrabanu has Chandravali as a daughter and Shubal as a son. And Shubal, Prabhu's, is identical to Srimati Radharani. First cousins, they look very similar. On Gopastami day, you know, when Radharani changes outfit, she becomes a gopa. She's the spitting image of Shubal. You can't tell the difference. Chandravali is very similar. She wears green attire. Her very best friend is Padma, and she's the counterpart of Lalita Sakhi. So they're very close. And uniquely, Sridhama, who's the brother of Srimati Radharani, is very close to Chandravali. And when Chandravali gets into hot water, he's the one who helps her out. And she's, her uniqueness, Chandravali's uniqueness is very kind of transcendentally cunning. And she's continuously reprimanded by the grandmother. The grandmother of Srimati Radharani is Mataji Mukhra. And she continuously reprimands Chandravali that, you know, leave Radharani alone. She reprimands Padma as well. But on this occasion, when Chandravali is detaining the Lord, a parrot is flying over and he sees what's going on. Now, Prabhus, when it comes to Vraj, the parrots are very, very important because they all belong to Vrindadevi. When you see Vrindadevi, you'll see that she's surrounded by parrots. And Vrindadevi has a disciple who is Daksh. Daksh is the chief of the parrots. And he has 100,000 disciples who are parrots. And they have a very elaborate spy network. If you think the KGB is sophisticated, well, now no longer. But the CIA or the MI-10 or MI-6... this spy network, Prabhus, is very, very intricate, very complex. And they detect every movement of the Lord and the gopis every minute of the day. And they report back to Vrindadevi. So Daksha is the guru of these parrots. Everyone has parrots. Radharani's parrot is Shuka, Shukadev. Draupadi Maharani has a parrot. And her parrot's name is Nilamani, Nilmani. She names the parrot after Krishna. This parrot witnesses that Krishna has been detained. And by this time, Radharani is gone. She leaves that place. And by the time Krishna frees himself from Chandravali, he had to virtually force himself to free himself. And when he ends up to where he's meant to meet Srimati Radharani, Radharani is no longer there, and the Lord is exceptionally dejected. He's dejected, despondent, depressed. And this parrot who witnesses and goes to where Srimati Radharani is, who is nowhere near where Krishna is, and he then gives the account that actually what happened is Krishna was on time, and he was willing and very ready to meet you, but he was detained, my Chandravali. So Radharani has some, okay, she's kind of forgiving, and she understands. So these are very unique pastimes, and time is of the essence. We could go on and on, but we'll just before stopping, Prabhus, I just wanted to share with you the Nitya Seva book over there has a Nitya Seva of Ambarish Prabhu. Incidentally, that is the Nitya Seva book. It is not the book of the dead. And it's the book of the remembrance. We remember people. We remember devotees. And many, that book of remembrance has many devotees in that book. And today is the honorary Nitya Seva of Ambarish Das Prabhu, Ambarish Prabhu, who passed away on the 19th of January in the year 2000. He was with us from 1993 to year 2000. Passed away at a tender age of 31. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit about him. A very dynamic devotee. I served with him for 7 years, and my principal service with him was he came to our temple from South Africa, and he is the nephew, or he was the nephew of Lalita Sakhi Mataji and Shamsundar Prabhu. Lalita Sakhi's sister's son was Ambarish, and he came around October of 1993, and he was my Sankirtan partner. And on the marathon of 1993, just very quickly, on the marathon of 1993, it was the 20th anniversary we were celebrating that year of the temple. He was my Sankirtan partner, and we did very well. He was very enthusiastic in going out. And he was a fantastic cook. After which we cooked in the kitchen from 93 until he, just before passing away, he was our head cook in the main kitchens. And I very much remember the prep he used to make, which I adored, was vermicelli. And he would put very nice spices. In particular, he would put cinnamon. And he'd make very nice vermicelli. So today I remember him, and his Sankirtan spirit was truly unique. Such a unique cook, a very, very hardworking devotee. And he was so together in his service, very exemplary in his service, very focused in his service. The day he passed away, in the morning of that day, I was actually going through his job description as the head cook of our temple, and we were just sitting on the stairs there, going through his silly job description, just as a matter of formality. I had to do that. Had I have known that this was his final day, I wouldn't have bothered to go through a job description at all, and possibly spent more time with him, which was more valuable to me. Ambarish Das Prabhu Ki Jai. And we remember him, and we continue to remember him in that Nitya Seva book. Thank you all very, very much. We have just 2 minutes for any questions and comments and corrections.